Thank you, Mark. Isn't it great when Mark can be here and he's looking at his iPod saying, if this goes off, I got to be at the state capitol, and knowing that in this session, his vote actually matters. If people don't think that Democrats know how to govern better, then check out, and Mark can tell you and other members you know, what happens when you have a majority of the Democrats are to give the Speaker of the House a margin in the House of Representatives. Democrats do know how to govern, don't they? And we're seeing it just now. You know, Ian, there was a lot of talk about February of 2007 here and who knew what when. And I heard Mark talk about, well, he was a little bit professorial. You remember on the campaign trail when they said that Senator Obama was talking above people's heads? Remember that?
Yeah.
When they said that?
Yeah.
Hey, I'd rather have somebody any day who sounds like a professor than the class dunce. I'm here in part to honor you and respect you because the people in this room contributed to an election that made history. Remember that people said back in 2007 that there were certain things that could not happen. Remember that? There were certain things that could not happen. The power establishment, they were going to get behind McCain. This is before Palin came along. But I'll tell you what. There was an election that changed the culture. And it's not just in this country. Did you notice how people all over the earth were watching the American election, watching what American democracy could do, making sure and seeing that it wasn't chosen just by a few people in a smoke-filled room. It's people in this room that set the tone for democracy on this earth, for a new direction in which this planet is going. I'm proud of you. I respect you. And isn't it about time we change the political culture of this state just like we changed the political culture of this nation? Okay. And sure, there's going to be bumps along the road. And in my faith, we're taught nobody's perfect, including the president. But I'll tell you what, there's some signs that change is in the wind. How about this? Did y'all check out Arlen Specter the other day? Changing parties. Do you remember the reason that he was given? The reason that he gave is that the right-wingers are taking over his primary. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's anybody mainstream here who wants to dump the people who do the politics of fear and the wedge issue, there's a home in this party, isn't there, for those? And I think the history is on our side. Now, look, a lot of people know me for a while here, and I'm a pretty independent-minded person, and I'm going to represent Texas in the U.S. Senate. But I think people are a little sick and tired of this country, and this country, people from all backgrounds, when we have representatives in the U.S. Senate who are hoping the new leadership of this nation fails simply in order to score a partisan point. Aren't you embarrassed about that as a Texan? You remember our Senator Cornyn? He's the guy who wears, when it comes to election, he wears a leather cowboy outfit. You know who I'm talking about. The first day after the election, the president's designee for Secretary of State, he held up. You remember that?
Yes.
Started the tone in Washington. Well, I want to tell you this. Don't you think people are sick and tired of the type of politics that brought us a nation at war and the biggest economic recession? Some say it could have been a depression in generations. Our new president was dealt a tough hand. Look. The worst economic crisis that we've had in this nation, you know, in my lifetime, and a war going on, and our military stretch and our international credibility stretched so thin. But I tell you what, we need people representing this state who say that we're in the business of thinking about the future about this state, the future of this country, and brings people together to get things done. And why are they surprised that somebody will actually be trying to implement what he campaigned on? You know what I'm saying? It's about time when you have that. And these are serious issues. You know, I came into Austin today on a plane. And when our plane arrived, it was a reminder of what the politics of the past had brought us. There was a family there, about seven or eight people in a family, different generations, African-American family, proud Americans, bunch of motorcycles lined up, a hearse, because there was a passenger on the plane in a casket. American serviceman had lost their life. Elections matter. Elections matter. Who we choose in these offices matter, and it matters big time, and it matters for the U.S. Senate, and it matters up and down the ballot in this state. That's why I want to let people know in this audience, there is an opportunity for change here in Texas. There is an opportunity to move this state forward. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody who is interested in representing all Texans and not just some right-wing friend? We're a diverse state, and we're proud of that state. And we're proud of that state. We ought to have somebody representing us who's more interested in the success of our kids and schoolrooms and the success of our workers than seceding from the union. I mean, we shouldn't be embarrassed or have to apologize from being one of the most diverse states, one of the youngest states in the nation. This could be a state where we're talking about the issues that matter for our future. They say it can't be done, but I'll tell you what, those people, we have a far better chance to have a senator that represents all the people of this state than people gave us in February of 07, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's ours to take. The politics of fear are in retreat. And you can look to people are interested, like Mark said, in getting things done. More in the solution than the soundbite. And if I could share with you some of the things that we did in Houston. They said, okay, Houston, Texas, there's a bunch of big polluters. They're putting chemicals in the air. There's some journalists here. Stiles is one. There's others who followed what we've done in Houston, Texas. They said, oh, well, their special interests are too powerful. The people who put carcinogens such as benzene and butadiene in the air. We told them that if they didn't stop putting these chemicals in the air, that we would sue them. And the amount of pollution in Houston has come down dramatically. They told us that we couldn't do that. We did it. They told us, well, the Houston is more of an industrial city. We're in the state of Texas after all. And I said, we're going to try to make Houston the most energy efficient city in the United States. We passed an energy efficiency building code that's the most aggressive in North America. They said, oh, well, you can't do that. The developers are too powerful. You know how we did it? Unanimously through our city council, because who's interested in paying higher utility bills or having more coal-fired power plants? They said that they were going to build new coal-fired power plants throughout the state. The governor had put it on a fast track. So me and the mayor of Dallas organized lawyers, including my old law firm, donating their time. And we took those coal companies on, and we were about to beat them in court before they withdrew their plan. Can you believe this? This is happening right now in Texas. They said that, oh my gosh, 250,000 Americans came to our community, and others came to Austin and Dallas, but I had 250,000 come through Houston from Hurricane Katrina. When we saw the consequences of not having competence and attention to detail at the top in this country, where others were whining, we brought people together and just got it done. We got people out of shelters, on the road to self-sufficiency, in apartments with jobs. And we did it in a way that shined a bright light. I know some of y'all were volunteered, didn't you? In the convention center here in Austin, we showed them how it could get things done. Why can't we bring that civic spirit to trying to bring back our dropouts back to school? There's tragedies that go on in families every day in this community. You know that. And if we have somebody who gets it, who understands that we're stronger as a community than we are as individuals, we can do stuff in this country that nobody dreamed of. And I want to be at the table as your voice heading this country in the right direction. We can do that. The last president we had said that our country was addicted to oil imports, foreign oil. You remember that? He said, what do we do about it? Today, there's a historic announcement by President Obama increasing the fuel efficiency standard for vehicles. I'll tell you, this is the most dramatic things. I've been working on this for 33 years. 1975, when I was a legislative assistant for a congressman, I helped work on the bill that had the first fuel economy standards. I left college because I thought it was important that our nation be more energy efficient. That has been the cause of my life, if you will. And I have advocated in print and in speeches many over decades that we have higher fuel efficiency standard for our automobiles. Because I'll tell you what, when we do what the president announced today, my hybrid gets 48 miles per gallon. In the city of Houston, I have bought hybrids as a standard issue since I've been there. All of our buildings are built to LEED energy efficiency standard. The Vice President Biden, I talked to about a month ago about the need to replace garbage trucks with hybrids, where they use 50% less gasoline and fuel and pick up the garbage, and it reduces the blake. You know, I'm not a hybrid salesman, but I'll tell you this. If this country decided that we wanted to get 50% better fuel economy in our vehicles and set the standard like the president announced today, we can do that. And you know what that would do for our country? That would cut oil imports by 4 million barrels a day. How much is that? That's over $200 million a day that's going out the door of this country that could be invested in green jobs with the future in this economy. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we were able to pull that off? And they'll try to make it a wedge issue. They'll try to make it a partisan issue. But I challenge anybody in this audience today to stand up and argue with me why it's a good thing for our country to import oil at the level we're currently importing. This is something that all Americans should rally around. And before it was cool, when you saw on my website, when I announced increasing auto fuel economy standards was one of the pillars of the energy policy that I want to fight for you for. This is the prospects that we have. And then improving the education of our kids. You know, I didn't know this until I walked through this door. Is Andy Brown still here? Is Sharon, his mom, still here? Is your mom? There's Sharon. She used to be Sharon Decker, now Sharon Brown. Y'all know who Andy is, don't you?
Yep.
Our party chair. See, my dad was a disabled vet. He came back, he had a hearing loss. Because he came off of what's called a tenant farm. They didn't have electricity at his farm until he was about 16 years old. And because of the evil federal government, okay, that was humorous for y'all doing transcript in the press, so that's a humor intended. He was able to go to school on the GI Bill. He went to Trinity University there in San Antonio, and he decided to live out what he thought was important. He's a very patriotic person to teach history in the schools. Sharon was one of his students. How was he as a teacher?
Fantastic, supportive, encouraging, terrific.
And share what you told me about civic involvement and what he said.
I was saying I thought that his example in American history current events class really soaked into me, really made sense, and that Andy has seen me work on campaigns, and I think you just pass these things along.
That's it. My dad taught me. And this is why how I got involved in civil rights in San Antonio back in the 1960s. Because somebody, a guy named Joe Bernal, who he taught and coached with, they felt that it was important that people get involved. He also felt it was important to have strong male role models in the classroom, by the way, which is we still need. And he inspired me and a lot of other people in Sharon's age who he taught to get involved in the political process to try to change it, to make it inclusive. You went to the women's co-op, didn't you? I mean, as part to empower, to encourage young women. Those days, a lot of women did not have the family background or the peer to say that you're ready for college. And there were people like my dad and my mom who made it their cause to give people an idea that education was important and could open doors. I think that's what America is all about. I think passing on that torch so that the next generation has a better opportunity than each generation has had. In a sense, I'm glad that President Obama has rekindled that flame, where we've seen young people see how important it is to get involved in politics. Isn't it sad in this city, which has one of the great universities in the world, university where I went to law school, where I hung out in Schultz's beer garden quite a bit in my day. Isn't it sad? Could I see if this rings true for you? That there's many people in my generation who say, golly, I'm glad I don't have to compete to get into that school now, because I never would have been able to get into that school with my SAT and GPA. This is the first generation of Americans where we're seeing some limits imposed because of governmental policies which limit the access to high-quality higher education, where we're not expanding the opportunities for education for many. Let that be only a temporary bump in the road. Let's have senators who understand, and somebody representing the state, that the future of this nation is opening those doors of opportunity for others. I tell you this, and I shared Sharon's story, which she told me just as I walked in with you, to let you know that this is a passion for me. This is real for me, opening those doors of opportunity for others. That's the way I've lived my life. That's why Andrea and I, my wife, who's a children's author, started Expectation Graduation within Houston to bring dropouts back to school. We can do this in this country. Civic engagement involvement is not a soundbite. It's something we can accomplish within this country. And what we need is leaders who reflect our values to do that. Listen, it's a long road. We will always be able, you know, have obstacles we'll have to overcome. You can see it now, the wedge issue politics that'll play out when we have a special election for U.S. Senate. They will say, and the commentators will say, that Texas is a certain color state, that it is impossible for somebody with a vision of the future who brings people together, who recognizes and honors the diversity of our state to win. But with your help, just think how sweet it will be after that special election. When you turn on the TV and the national commentators are going to say, hey, if Texas can elect somebody who's mainstream, if Texas can elect somebody who's thinking about the future, if Texas can elect somebody who's talking about solutions and not just a soundbite, then we're going to have them on a run, and you're going to be part of it. And I want to be a vehicle to let you be part of it. And finally, let me just say a word on politics, if I could, on the politics of this. Oh, well, they'll say, I'll tell you what they said, you know, when I was running for mayor. Said, oh, well, he's too cerebral. He gives complete answers to a question and then sometimes too much. I know that. They'll say, now, sometimes professorial. They'll say, one guy, there was a political consultant who told me that, golly, you know, I think you'll be a great mayor, but, you know, there's no way I can support you. You can't win. And I said, why? He says, well, don't take this personal, but your ears are too big for TV. We're going to win. Now, I must not be the best stump speaker, because after I was elected for mayor, Katrina came, and I told people that we were going to call off the campaign. I mean, this is a true story. Strongest mayor, former government in the country. there were people who had run for mayor before. Some people say, oh, they're minor candidates. They've got double digits in before. And we won with 92% of the election without campaigning. Now, you can draw two conclusions. One conclusion is that I'm not that good a speaker because when I don't go around campaigning, more people vote for me. But the other conclusion is that people are ripe for people who deliver on what they say they're going to do. That people are ready for straight talk. That people want to find common ground on higher ground in our country and move this country forward. And if you join me, and if you join me by doing some simple things, hey, go to the website. I have about six people here who have introduced themselves so far as being my Facebook friends and family. And if you do all this, then we can change the political culture of this state. Thank you all for having me here tonight.